turn to this great psalm again, Psalm 139. So far, we have been reminded that our grace, our great God, He knows where we are and what we think, and drawn from that, we would have to say, and what we need. Okay? He knows what we need. He's not limited. I carried on a conversation by instant messenger with a friend of mine, a man that was in our church in California years ago and now lives in Wasilla, Alaska. And every once in a while, he'll be talking to me and say, oops, excuse me, I got to go. I got moose in the front yard. Not something you hear every day, okay? But today, he said he was inviting me over tonight to watch the game in Alaska. Yes, yeah. And we went back and forth a little bit and bantered, and then I reminded him that it's actually his turn to come to my house, and so I won that one. But, you know, we are limited by space and time, but our God is not. And we don't have to worry. There are so many big things going on in the world right now. Why would God listen to the likes of me? Why would He be interested in what I have to say? David says, oh, I've got that one. I know that answer. And he answers that for us in this place. And you and I are to live in the presence of God, with the knowledge of God. And as we said before, rather than this terrorizing us, it should thrill us that thou, God, seest me, that you know my need. You're already working on my behalf. A.W. Tozer said, the practice of the presence of God does not consist of projecting an imagination from our minds and acting like it's there. Rather, it is the recognition of the real presence of the one the Bible says is truly there. We just have to stop and say, I don't have to try to work this up or think what it would be like if God is there. I have to stop and realize the Bible is true and God is here. And I just have to act in accordance with that. By faith, we act on the presence, not by sight. I can't see God. I can say, well, I see God working. But by faith, I read in passages like this wonderful psalm, that God is always there. By review, in the first six verses, we said that the fact of God's omniscience comforts us. And then verses 7 through 12, we said the fact of God's omnipresence sustains us. And the fact of God's omnipotence tonight directs us. Through Christ, you and I have access to this God anytime, anywhere. We come to Him for forgiveness and wisdom and that discerning knowledge and praise through Christ, and being able to say, my God is near. The fact that God's, we've looked at His omnipresence and His omniscience, now His omnipotence, and David's going to illustrate this in a special way, but the fact that His omnipotence directs us. It directs us to do special things. And the first is to praise Him, verses 13 through 18. The fact that God is with us moment by moment. What a brilliant thought. What a wonderful psalm that should impact us. How do we live in light of the fact that God is with us in real time, we would say today? Moment by moment. It's not a recorded. There have been times where not too long ago I was watching a game and I thought, fantastic, this team is beating Michigan. Oh, wait a minute. They're showing a game for several years ago. That loses a little bit of something, okay? But to think that God is not on time delay, that He is with us in the moment by moment. We said last week, week before, a person falls. They may have something. Dorothy has one of those that she can press, and it alerts her family. We, by prayer, can be in constant contact with God. So, this omnipotence, the fact that God can do anything, it should direct us. It should direct us to praise Him verses 13 and following. For you formed my inward parts. Here's David's example of the power of God. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. And then we could really go on to what would be a text for another week. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Now we know that God knows everything. He's not impaired. Jonah can go the opposite direction. God sees. Joseph can be thrown in a prison. God sees. God knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. They weren't quite ready for that. But David says, you have intimate knowledge of me because you formed my inward parts. Now, that's pretty amazing. David could say, God saw me before I ever made my first kick in the womb. We kind of get, is it going to be a boy or a girl? There have been times where people have seen images and were certain of that, and that was a little inaccurate. But in fact, God's knowledge of us begins before we have a beginning. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Back past the Psalms and Isaiah to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, God tells this prophet, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet in the nations. I knew you before you were even formed. In Psalm 119, in verse 73, the psalmist says that he made me and fashioned me. We spend a lot of time trying to maintain our looks, our hairline, our appearance. You may do exercises, apply all kinds of products, but the fact that God made us, He formed us, He knew exactly how He wanted us to be. So we praise Him in Psalm 139 for making us wonderfully in verses 13 through 16. By the way, the whole Democratic Party, and I'll go on to say most or a growing number of the Republican Party, would profit from studying this psalm. People who are convinced that we have the power to end our lives, we have control over the unborn, obviously do not study or care to come to grips with the truths of this section of Scripture. For decades, our youth have been taught that there is no creator God, there is no wise design, there is no accountability. And so let me ask you, if there's no designer, as we said this morning, then what hinders a person from saying, well, then I will custom design myself. I will decide what I look like. I am my God. I will make the determination of that. So what sex do I want to be? When do I want to die? Who do I want to die? Oh, that's kind of an extreme. Isn't that really what happens in an abortion? I will choose who lives and dies. I'm not trying to go out on a limb or to be shocking. I'm just telling you, a person takes the position of God. Carrie and I were having breakfast one day this week, and I asked him, I said, speaking to a millennial, what is exactly the attraction as you talk to people? Why is abortion so important? Because I will tell you, when a person goes to a political rally, and according to them, there are 3,000 people there, and the 300 people who are there, when that candidate says, "And I will protect your right to decide about your womb and the choice of the mother," and all, and people who were half asleep now get away and they give thunderous applause, it makes me realize for a lot of people, this is huge. This is the all-important issue, not life, but power over life. It is an offense against God. It's, as we said this morning, it's not confusion, it's rebellion. He says, "You formed me. You knitted me together." God put praise in David's mouth, didn't he? That's what a psalm is. God putting praise in David's mouth, and David singing exactly the most fitting thing that he could sing to God. There would be a lot of songs that have been written, and some of them are remembered for a long time and very precious and popular, and others that are soon forgotten. But God put these words in the psalmist's mouth, and then he sang these in a response. And these songs contain very important theology. And in this psalm especially, it affirms a divine origin, a sanctity of life, that God made life and God is in control of life as well. Let's look at some expressions. "You knitted me." The Hebrew word there has the idea to weave, to shape. God took a hold of us. I remember like yesterday seeing my first model. It used to be years ago, kids, that you could, if you were really geeky and your parents were really rich, that they might buy you this. It was almost like a life-size model. It was a clear plastic, and then inside it had where all the, you know, blue for veins and red for arteries and white for nerves, and they had all these things going, and it looked just like a bunch of loose strings in there. I think of the fact that when the psalmist says, "You knitted me," exactly what, he didn't have that really cool model to look at. Exactly what was he thinking of? Behind me, we have sample work of different things that people have made. Somebody put some time into stitching these things and taking, any of the men bring any of these? I'm kind of doubt it, because number one, you have fumbly big fingers, and even if you can do some very exacting work and make models and things like that, you probably don't have the patience to do this, okay? But God has patience and a plan, and God sees it through from concept to finished product. God does that. Embroidery is delicate and beautiful. The way our organs and our systems, oh, now I'm going to take you back to science and biology. What are some of the systems of the human body? I didn't trust myself, so I cheated and wrote them down, but as the teacher, I'm just trying to help you. What are some of the systems? All right, the circulatory. The skeletal system. Digestive. Oh, we got one of the hard ones. Okay. The endocrine. Whoa. I don't have that one on my list. Say it again. Did you just make that up? No. All right. What is it? The skin, thank you. Why didn't you just say skin? I would have. Thank you, Christopher. Respiratory, digestive, nervous, muscular, skeletal, immune. Okay, we have all these systems that are going on in you right now. They are working in cooperation. They function together beautifully, and all to the testimony of a God who does all things well. Listen, the systems that God has in this earth are functioning without us there being some man or woman in a control system with a bunch of monitors saying, "Oh, we got to have the tides come in right now, quickly." You know, We're not in charge of that. God's systems work together. And in a smaller and minute way, the systems in our body work beautifully together. And all of this testifies to me, and I'm in alignment with David here, that of a wise designer, not random evolutionary chance, which is a godless system. Our fetal development, David is saying, was under the watchful care before MRIs, before the imaging that they can do of children. Our development, our DNA, the strands of our DNA being woven together intricately by God took place. A woman thinks, well, you know, I'm not feeling well, and begins to think, well, I might be pregnant, and takes that test. Before she ever thinks that that might be a possibility, God has already been at work in that mother. God has already been superintending that baby. And for that, we rejoice. For that matter, by the way, God may know what limitations he will give that child. Things that we may call deformities still serve a purpose. We can say, well, they show the curse, they show the fall. That may be a possibility. But there have been individuals who have had limitations of sight or speech and still were able to write hymns that we rejoice. And God, we don't have to know the reasons for these limitations. God knows how they serve him perfectly. The verb there for you knitted me or you wove me, beautiful, isn't it? It can serve a couple of other purposes. It can be used a couple other ways. It can speak about to shut in a hedge or a fence. It can have the idea to overshadow, to screen, or to cover. I meditated on that this afternoon, and I was thinking, all right, this is wonderful that God knits us, superintends us, but you know what? God even knows and has a purpose for the womb that he puts us in. He says he shut us in. He knows what goes on. Before we ever had any images at a boy or girl, at a hand or foot, Morris says that the womb is an amazingly designed and efficient protective chamber in which the fragile embryonic body can develop, cushioned hydraulically from injury, yet sustained and fed through the mother's body. And that just happened by an explosion. No, God designed every bug, every bird, every skeleton, every muscle, and he designed the human body, and David rejoiced, and he's talking about not only the omniscience and the omnipresence of God, but now the power of God, and he says, and here's an example, God made me, and he knew all about me before there was any of me, or before anybody knew that I was a gleam in my father's eye, he knew this. So God knew you, God put you in the womb of his choosing, and that should make us thank God, and it should make us appreciate our parents. And parents, you're welcome. Okay. Now, over against this, when we read, we're down in verse 15, and he says, intricately woven, there's that idea of embroidered. The ancient Jew would have thought of embroidery work, taking different colored strings and doing something beautiful with that. Okay. Some of you can take paints, and you can take charcoal and do wonderful things. And some of you can take fabric. And the rest of us are saying, how did you do that? Okay? Intricately woven in the depths of the earth. I think he's using an idiom for the womb again. But something so beautiful as the picture that David just put before us, Let me tell you what Satan and ancient mythologies do with this. They have the concept in their mythology of Mother Earth, a goddess of Mother Earth, that all life begins in Mother Earth. She's the mother of all deities. She's the patroness of all motherhood. And the earth supposedly sprang from being from her. She's the, you know, had all its life from her. And then she had relations with the sky, who is a god. Okay, so the goddess Mother Earth had relations with the sky, and that produced fertility. By the way, lest we think that Freemasonry is maybe religious or is okay, they adopt this picture in some of their imagery and some of their things of Father Sky and Mother Earth. That's really not what David's talking about at all. And Satan can take something so beautiful, as he often does, and twist it into something so grotesque and absurd. David says, I was intricately woven in the depths of the earth, in the womb. Again, atheism always dehumanizes. Atheism let run just a little bit ends up being Hitler-esque and saying, the following people are not worthy of living. We would be better off without them. And that list keeps growing of people who should die. That's atheism. It doesn't have a value. It doesn't start with the concept God gave life, and we who believe in God and the authority, the first song that we sang, the third verse of it, I think, spoke about this life and because of a sovereign God. But when we reject the sovereignty of God and we think somehow we are responsible, that all falls apart very quickly, because every nation wants to be in control. Every person wants to be their own little god. But the Bible here, David says, I'll tell you an example of the omnipotence of God. God made me. God thinks upon me. God knew me in the womb. Of all the things that David could point to illustrate the power of God, and he uses creation and the development of man. Amazing. David said, no part of the universe is too remote for God. If I go into the heavens, you are there. If I go to Sheol, you are there. No part's too remote. But he can say as well, the very womb of life, the inside of a mother where a baby is being developed, that's not too remote. God sees that as well. There's some footage that, if you haven't seen it a long time, you might want to look it back up. Back in 1999, they did some surgery on a child who was being operated while still in the womb. Does this sound familiar? Okay. The baby had spinal bifida. This was not going to be to remove the disease, but to protect from some serious brain damage. And the baby could have been legally aborted, obviously. But with miniature tools, this surgeon goes in and is doing, and I can't look at surgery, so I'm just going on, pretty amazing that I would even have seen this, and I have. And as the surgeon is doing, a little hand comes out and grabs a hold of the doctor's finger. How amazing. How amazing. God knows us before we're born, and God sees abortion as murder. So can't we call it something else? No, not without caving into a godless culture. That's exactly what it is. And America and a lot of people in it will give an account to a God who says, I valued life, I give life, I created you, I created this life, and you tried to be God. It's a challenge to his right as creator. couple other words here before we close. Verse 14, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Fearfully, we take the word fear, and fear usually means something to recoil from, something to protect yourself against. Kind of a human instinct to defend. But here he says the word carries the idea of a reverence and an honor. And he says, I am fearfully. It would have denoted to the Hebrew mind something that should respond to the sovereign will of God. I am fearfully made. You're the one who made me, and I'm just the creation. You are the potter. I'm just the clay. And I am, there's flaws in this body, but it I didn't make this. You did. I am fearfully and then wonderfully. It would speak to something remarkable, something outside of itself. Somebody else gets credit for this. I didn't do this. The word is used in other places. It speaks of God acting on behalf of humanity. Especially, it shows up a lot in the Old Testament in the Psalms, Psalm 78:4, Psalm 105:5, about God acting on behalf of his people, the Jews. Psalmist could say, when we as a nation, when we think back on the victories, on the deliverances, on the provisions, on the promises, when we think on this, we ought to think outside of the box of humanity and say, God did this. All these things ought to make us say, this is too wonderful for me. And certainly these intricate bodies of ours woven together by the hand of God should make us say, God is powerful and God controls me. The last statement we'll look at is in verse 16, where he says, my unformed substance. The Babylonian Aramaic, the Syriac, they had a similar word to speak of either uncultivated soil or an unfinished product, something that is not done yet, it's not completed. And the world says, you know, or a lot of people will say, well, God isn't done with me yet. Well, there is some truth to that. David could say, God, you saw me when before I was born and I was still in formation. I wasn't complete. But every one of us could say, I got to tell you, God still sees me, and I am still a work in progress. And he still promises he will see me through to the end. The God who saw me before I was born will see me through to glory after I breathe my last breath here. That if we think, I have power, my life has gotten to a place where I don't think I want to live, or I don't think this person is productive anymore. Let's take life. Well, that's that same I'm God, just like I will abort a child. We ought, the very tenacity of life, and we have some pastors and some retired pastors here, and I will tell you, a lot of us have seen individuals as they're breathing their last breath, and it's powerful to watch people hold on to onto this life because it's precious, not because they feared the unknown. The most peaceful person that I ever saw leave this earth was Evelyn Joseph, who had, what was her disease? Lupus. It was hard for her to come to church in California on days where there was bright sunshine because sunshine bothered her with lupus. A very sweet widow lady. And her daughter and I were there the good part of the day. And in the afternoon, the daughter or the mother, I don't know, one of them said something about reading Psalm 23. And so I started reading and commenting on that psalm as we went along. And then all of a sudden her daughter touched me and she said, Mom passed when you were on verse 4 or whatever it was. I kept going. You got to finish the sermon, folks. You have to finish. But she said, I watched her as you read those verses and talked about that, get more and more calm, and then she just stopped breathing. We didn't have to rush the doctors in at this point. This is a woman who, absent from the body, say it with me, present with the Lord. Let's stand, be dismissed, and a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, wonderful are these truths. It is with fear and trepidation that we ever try to preach or teach or convey what this means. Instead of trying to parse every word and study every thought, Lord, we just would like to take it up as a whole and rejoice in the warmth of this thought that you see us. You knew us before we were formed. You watched, you superintended that precious promise, the process, and you promised to take us to glory. So long after the light has gone out and our body grows cold and people wonder, there is no wondering, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And even this body that you fashioned, you will fashion again and make it into a glorious body. We will have no needs. We'll still be able to, in glory, to recognize, to eat, to converse, and yet all in a glorified state where sin cannot ravage, there is no cancer, there is no concern, for our God is the light of that glory. You will be at the center of all things. Even now, Lord, help us to just marvel and take a moment to rejoice that and one example of your great power is the formation of life in the human body and soul. This body is not meant to live forever. The soul is. Help us to rejoice, to know that through Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship, knowledge of this Almighty God. Through the Holy Spirit, the very groanings this week, that when it's hard to even put into words what we feel and we pray for ourselves or for others, these are communicated to the Father. Help us to rejoice in all of this. We thank you for this beautiful text, these wonderful truths. May it impact us to realize, instead of complaining about our bodies and the brevity of this life, may we make every moment count for Christ as we have these great and precious promises. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.